Good morning. Normally, it's easier to divide between two interrelated spheres of aspects of Torah, that of halacha and that of hashkafa. Although, of course, there's an interrelationship between the formal legal system, mitzvot and averos, and the machshava behind it, but usually one could divide between the two more discreetly. To have a shiur in halacha, and then have a separate shiur concerning the underlying principles that drive that halacha. But concerning tefillah and other similar types of mitzvot, the halacha and hashkafa are intertwined. It's impossible to discuss the halacha without the hashkafa, and vice versa as well. To put it into a halachic terminology, the first source on the Maor Mekomos, which is from the Sefer Mitzvot of the Rambam, Mitzvot Atei Hei. Interestingly, the Rambam, as opposed to Sefer Chinuch, uses a thematic order in terms of which mitzvah comes first and which comes second. The Sefer Chinuch simply went in the order of the Parshios. The Rambam starts from the more fundamental mitzvot and then moves on to the more detailed mitzvot. So it starts with the mitzvah of Emunah Hashem, this mitzvah Aleph, and the mitzvah of Avat Hashem, and the mitzvah Yirat Hashem. So the fifth mitzvah, very early on in the list, is the mitzvah of Tefillah, which he describes as follows: Mitzvah Chamishit Shetzivanu L'Ovdo Yis'aleh. The fifth commandment is that Hashem commanded us to serve Him. Interesting is the fact that the Rambam does not indicate that or does not describe the mitzvah as Shetzivanu L'Hisfalel, that He commanded us to pray or to daven. That he commanded to serve him. And the Rambam continues to describe, we'll see more about that later, that avoda refers to tefillah. The Rambam Hilchos Tefillah, this part actually didn't put on the Maor Mekomos, my apologies for that. In the introduction to every section of the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, so he introduces it with which mitzvot are contained within that particular section. So similarly to what he did in the Sefer Mitzvot, he begins that mitzvah achas is one mitzvah lavod es Hashem b'chol yom b'tfilah, to serve Hashem with tefillah. And if you contrast that with the Rambam in the first halacha of Hilchos Tefillah, which you have in the handout on source 2, halacha aleph, mitzvah taseh l'espalel b'chol yom shenemar avadatem es Hashem elokechem. Using almost the same words, but not quite. In the introduction, he says that the mitzvah is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How? Through tefillah. In the beginning of the halachos, he writes, it's a mitzvah to daven. And what's the source? From the pasuk dealing with avoda. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal indicated in a variety of situations, both oral and written, that we find a similar demarcation in terms of a slightly different phraseology in Hilchos Tshuva as well. And that's, again, not on the Maor Mekomos, but just by way of introduction. In Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam begins the section, again, introducing which mitzvahs are included in that particular section. In the introduction to Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes as follows: V'hu mitzvah tasei achas, again, that's the mitzvah included there, that a person should return from the sin that he had done. He should do tshuva. Sheyoshev achote. But in the halachos, in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, he begins, whenever anyone violates an avera, kol mitzvah shebetorah, bein aseh, bein lo saseh, etc. Kisheyase tshuva v'yoshev mecheto chayev lesvados. Again, related formulation, but somewhat different. He describes the introduction to the mitzvah is to do tshuva. And in the halachos, he says the mitzvah is to do vidui, to confess. So what Rabbi Soloveitchik developed is that in all mitzvot, we have what we call a maisa, an action of the mitzvah, and we have a kiyum, the way you fulfill the mitzvah. Now normally those are identical. Let's say the mitzvah of shaking the luluv, the act of the mitzvah, the maisa, is to shake a luluv. And the kiyum of mitzvah, the way you fulfill the mitzvah of luluv, is by shaking a luluv. It's the same thing. But there are certain mitzvot where the ma'isa and the kiyum are totally separate. Some mitzvot, the action is one of speech or one of action, but the kiyum, the way you fulfill the mitzvah, is belaves, in the heart or in the mind. And two examples of such mitzvot, Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested, are the mitzvah of tefillah and the mitzvah of tshuva. Concerning the mitzvah of tshuva, the way you go about it, or the action, is speech. And that's what the Rambam describes, and that's why he focuses on vidui. It's a massive discussion in the Achronim as to whether the Rambam viewed the mitzvah of tshuva as a mitzvah to return to God, or whether he viewed it as a mitzvah to confess. There's even a unique position of the Minchas Chinuch, that the Rambam holds there is no formal commandment of tshuva, that when you do tshuva, this is the way to do it. That you confess and you take this step and that step. But Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Tzal, assumed that the Rambam certainly agrees to the Ramban and other Rishonim that there is a mitzvah of tshuva, but in the introduction to the set of halachos, he focuses on the kiyum, the fulfillment, the internal mental or emotional state. That he has to return from the sin. If one hasn't accomplished that, then he could say the entire achet and Hashem nebagadnu, and not only hasn't he returned to God, but he hasn't fulfilled the formal mitzvah tshuva. Because the kiyum, the fulfillment, is belayv, it's in the heart. Has the person returned to God? In the halachos, then the Rambam focuses on halacha l'maaseh, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get to that state? So therefore he focuses on the action. In this case, the action is one of speech, of vidui. And interestingly, the Rambam maintains concerning tshuva that one actually has to spell out in speech all of the steps. One has to confess, one has to regret the sin and state that I regret it, and one has to be makabel ha'asid, never to return to it again. So too, concerning Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam, both in the Sefer HaMitzvos and in the introduction to the Halachos, there he focuses on the kiyum. What is the fulfillment belayv? What is the emotional, mental state that we are meant to achieve through tefillah? That is lavor es Hashem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If one has not accomplished that through tefillah, so then one hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah. In the halachos themselves, Perek Aleph, halacha Aleph, so then the Rambam focuses on the ma'isa, on the action. What is the action? Mitzvah, let's say, l'spalel. If one just mind prayed, then one doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. You have to actually say words. But that doesn't change the fact that the ultimate fulfillment of tefillah is belayv. Again, in the language of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, the ma'isa is bedibur, is to daven. But the kiyum is belayv, is to achieve a state of service of Hashem Yisbarach. So, that stated, it's clear that in order to fully understand what tefillah is, one has to focus not only on the ma'isa, but also on the kiyum. And hence, one has to focus not only on the halachos of tefillah, in terms of the formal structure of it, but also the hashkafos of tefillah, in terms of what do we mean by the kiyum belev of avodas Hashem. And just to whet the appetite for now, we'll discuss this more throughout the course of the shiur. How is asking for our needs service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? At first glance, asking for our needs is self-service. In the language of the Sefer HaChinuch, well, Beis Hashem will see that a little later, the Sefer HaChinuch writes that it's mecheser hakel, the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He grants us that which we need through tefillah. But that has nothing to do with the fact that it's a commandment. That's a kindness. We're serving ourselves by asking for what we need. Then the Sefer HaChinuch proceeds to say, but it's also a mitzvah. But how is it a mitzvah? How is that divine service? It should be self-service. So with that introduction in mind, let's take a look at a very famous dispute in the Rishonim between the Rambam and the Ramban as to when and under what circumstances tefillah is min haTorah and when and under what circumstances tefillah min derabbanan. Let's see a little more of that Rambam that we began with in source 1. Hamitzvah chamishis is shetzivonu la'avdo yisaler u'chfar nichbal tzivui zeh pa'amim, or pa'amayim, probably pa'amim, because more than twice. The mitzvah is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's repeated many times in the Torah. Omar, pasukim mishpatim, v'avaratem es Hashem elokeichem, you should serve Hashem. V'omar, v'osot ha'avodu, pasukim re'ei, you should serve Hashem. V'omar, Vosotavod. V'amar, and this is the most famous of the psukim because we recite it twice, three times daily in the Kriya Shema. V'amar ula'ovdo. Ula'ovdo b'chol avavchem. V'hoyam shemol atishmo mitzvosai, Hashem anochi misavet chem ayom, v'avat Hashem alokichem, ula'ovdo b'chol avavchem. V'af al-fi sheze atzivu hu gamkein mitzivuim akololim, k'mo shebi'arnu b'shor sh'arvi. Even though this commandment of service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a general commandment to serve Hashem through the entire corpus of Torah and Mitzvot. And the Rambam refers back to what he introduced the Sefer Mitzvot with in the fourth introductory heading, the Shorash HaRevi, that you don't count Mitzvot that are of a general nature. You can't, in the 613 Mitzvot, it has to be something specific. It can't just be of a general nature. So simply speaking, we should not be able to count Avodah Hashem as a Mitzvah. So he elaborates that Hine Yeshbo Yichud Shehu Siva B'Tfila. There is a specific commandment as well that's included in these passages of service of Hashem, and that's the mitzvah of Tfila. And he quotes the Sifrei, the Medrash Halacha, on the Parsha of Kriyashma and Parsha Sekev, Ula Avdo Zo Tfila. The serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Tfila. I'm just skipping a little bit to the Rambam himself in the Halachos, in the Mishnah Torah, in Source 2. He also similarly begins, Mishnah to say, L'spal v'chol yom, as we noted before, here he speaks about L'spal as opposed to Lavod, Shenemar v'avartem es Hashem Elokeichem, Mipi Hashmu alamdu, the Torah Shebal Peh informs us, Sh'avod ezo hi tfila, Shenemar ol'ovda v'chol avavchem. So here he elaborates a little more than he did in the Sefer Mitzvot. Omru Chachamim, Ezo hi avodah shebelev, zo tefillah. As it says in the Kriya Shema, L'avdo b'chol avavchem, to serve Hashem with all of our heart. How do we serve Hashem with our heart? So that refers to tefillah. Indeed, the Mefarshim point out that it's not only a Sifrei, but it's also a Gemara in Tainis, of Beis Hamed Aleph. The Gemara in Tainis quotes this Medrash Chazal, U'la'avdo b'chol avavchem, Ezo hi avodah shebelev, zo tefillah. The service of the heart is tefillah. As we mentioned before in our introduction, the very formulation of how we know that Avodah Shebelev refers to Tefillah highlights the fact that it is Avodah Shebelev. If it's not service of the heart, then we have no source that's referring to Tefillah. We'll come back to the rest of the Rambam in a moment. Let's now take a look at the Ramban in Source 3. The Ramban in his Asogos on this Rambam on Mitzvah Saseh Hey. So he disputes this ruling of the Rambam that the Mitzvah of Tefillah is Min HaTorah. Vein Haskama Bazeh. There's no agreement on this, meaning I don't agree to this. So, and many other Rishonim agree to the Ramban as well. Shekvar beiru hachachamim b'gemara tfila derabonan. Kemo she'omru b'shlishi shal brochos v'helo atam bazeh el akriya shema b'rechus mazun d'oraisa tfila derabonan. The Ramban proceeds to quote quite a few sources. We'll just focus on one of them just because we're short for time. That throughout Brachos, he quotes two Gemaras on Chafalaf Amar Aleph and a Gemara in Sukkah, Daflam Ches Amar Aleph. The Gemara continues to state that Kriya Shema is a mitzvah in HaTorah. It is well known. We learn it out from the Psukim and Kriya Shema themselves. B'shach v'chav kumecha. That you have to speak about the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu both during the day and at night. But Tfilah, the Gemara says, Tfilah is derabanan. And as a result of the fact that Tfilah is derabanan, the Gemara states that if one has a doubt as to whether or not one recited Kriya Shema, so one has to repeat Kriya Shema because Kriya Shema is Min HaTorah, following the general principle of Safik, Daraisa, L'Chumra. And when you have a doubt on a Torah law, one has to repeat the mitzvah again. But concerning Tefillah, simply speaking, the halakha should have been that Safik Tefillah should be L'Kula. But if one forgot whether one davened, usually Mincha, that's easiest tefillah to perhaps forget whether one davened or not. So we say that one should not have to daven again. It happens to be that for a different reason, we paskin, like Rabbi Yochanan, that when you have a doubt as to whether or not you davened Shemona Esrei or not, one should repeat the Shemona Esrei and have in mind that if I didn't daven, so this should be the formal tefillah. And if I did daven, so this should be a tefillah nedava. It should be an optional tefillah. Rabbi Yochanan in his famous statements writes, Halavai she'espal adam kol hayom kulo, that just as there's a concept concerning karbanos, that one could bring an optional karban as well, so too concerning tefillah, one could offer an optional tefillah. We don't recommend ordinarily that one should daven more than the three set tefillos in terms of Shemona Esrei, because halavai we should have kavana for the first three. So to add more tefillos would be somewhat audacious to assume that we're having kavana. But when we're stuck in a halachically difficult situation, so when we rely on the fact that you're allowed to offer an optional tefillah. So strictly speaking, if one had a doubt whether one davened and one should not have to daven again, because the Gemara indicates Safik tefillah derabanan, because Safik tefillah l'kula rather, because Safik derabanan l'kula, tefillah derabanan. But since there is this option of davening tefillah s'nedava, so why should we forego the ability to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we daven again with that kind of condition. But that doesn't change the fact that the Gemara says clearly that tefillah is derabanan, and therefore, strictly speaking, without this curveball of Rabbi Yochanan, of halavai shispal adam kalayim kulo, we should be able to not have to daven again if you had a doubt. So that's proof number one of the Ramban. Maybe we'll just mention one more. The Ramban quotes the Gemara and Brachos also on that same daf, Chafal HaMeralis. There's an ellipsis on the sheet. I didn't quote the entire Gemara, just to abbreviate the Ramban a bit. But it's talking about the context of a Baal Keri. A Baal Keri is Tamei, and even though nowadays the halacha has accepted that even if a Baal Keri does not go to mikveh, he's able to daven, he's able to learn, etc. But the Gemara indicates that it was a takana from Ezra that a Baal Keri would not be able to learn and would not be able to daven either until he went to the mikveh. And interestingly, there's a machlokes rishonim as to whether or not that decree was totally repealed or only with respect to Talmud Torah. Everyone agrees that with respect to learning, that a Baal Keri could learn even without going to tefillah, to the mikveh, to tefillah, not tefillah. But concerning tefillah, some Rishonim hold that it's still a binding takana, which presumably is one of the bases for the more Hasidic practice of always going to the mikveh for tefillah. But in any case, we pass that a Baal Keri could daven even when he's tamei, even without going to the mikveh. But based on the original takana, so the Gemara indicates that a Baal Keri, he has to somehow cover Kriya Shema, at least think about Kriya Shema, be Mahara be Kriya Shema, but he doesn't have to daven. Why? So the Gemara makes a distinction, and that's what you have here in the first line of the Ramban, going to the second line. Since benching, which is another example of where the Gemara says that the Baal Keri cannot exempt himself from, and Kriya Shema are min HaTorah, so he has to somehow say those, or at least think them. But tefillah is derabanan, so he's off the hook concerning tefillah, and we don't want him to daven in the state of tum. So again, the Ramban quotes Gemaras that state explicitly that tefillah is derabanan. So how could the Rambam maintain that tefillah is minator? So if we go back to the Rambam himself, and again back to source 2, so the Rambam continues. Now we'll pick up from the second line, the middle of the line. V'ein minyan tefillah is minator. When I say the Rambam maintains that tefillah is min haTorah, don't make a mistake that I hold that Shmona Esrei is min haTorah, or I hold that Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv is min haTorah. Min haTorah, there is no number of tefillos. Ein minyan tefillos min haTorah. Ve'ein mishnah tefillos min haTorah. Mishnah, as Mefarshim explained, in this context, it means nusach, the text of the tefillah, meaning the Shmona Esrei. It's not min haTorah. Ve'ein tefillos man kavua min haTorah, and there's no set time min haTorah. So neither in terms of how many times we daven, nor in terms of the nusach tefillah, nor in terms of the zman shachris, zman mincha, zman ma'ariv, all of that is only rabbinic. The Rambam then continues in Halacha Beis, ulefichach noshim vavodim chayav mitzvilah ulefishi mitzvah tasei shelo zman grama. We'll come back to that line in a moment. I don't want to dwell on it now. Ela chiyav mitzvah zol kachu sheyehe adam ischanein umispar v'chol yom umagid shvachov shel kadosh baruch hu va'achar kach shelo tzrochov shu tzorach lehem bevakasho v'tchina. The mitzvah min haTorah is that once a day, every day, as the Rambam indicated in Halacha Aleph, mitzvah tasei l'sfar v'chol yom, once a day, every day, one has to offer some kind of freestyle tefillah containing the three components of shevach, praise of Hashem, bakasha, asking for what we need, and hodoya, thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for that which He has given us and continues to give us. Min haTorah, there's a shell of shevach, bakasha, hodoya once a day. Along came the Ashkenaz HaGdola in the early period of the second Beis HaMikdash, and they gave that Torah commandment an additional structure. So they formulated a Shmona Esrei, which contains those three components, the three brachos of Shevach, the 12, and then later 13 brachos of Bakasha, and the three brachos of Hodaya. They established set times for Tefillah, Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv, even though they weren't the original ones to invent those time periods. Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv was paralleled after either Korbanos or the Avos. And they also established a number of tefillos, three times, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv. That was an enhancement of the Torah commandment, but at its core, it's Minat Torah. Based on that Rambam, the Ramban himself, and this we won't see inside just to save a little bit of time, but it isn't there in the Ramban, he writes that my attack on the Rambam, that the Gemara says explicitly that Tefillah Derabbanan, at first glance, could be readily answered. Because the Rambam himself writes that only certain aspects of Tefillah Minat Torah, other aspects are Midrabbanan. So take, for example, the Gemara that says that if you have a doubt whether you daven or not, that, at least strictly speaking, leaving aside Halavai Shis Falam Kolayom Kulo and Tefillah Sedova, that once you're not at the daven again. So the Rambam could get out of that, the proof in that Gemara as follows. A person davened Shachris. He already davened that day. So his obligation in the Torah had already been fulfilled. Now it comes Mincha time, and he doesn't know whether he davened or not. So that's a doubt only on a rabbinic level, because on the Torah level he already davened. It's only the rabbinic enhancement that he now has a doubt concerning. So on that aspect, the Gemara says that Safik Tefillah is Lakula. But if, let's say, a person was a real klutz, he didn't daven Ma'ariv, and he didn't daven Shachris, and then Mincha has a doubt whether he davened or not. Or he has a doubt whether he davened Ma'ariv and Shachris and Mincha. And now it's still during the day. So in that kind of case, the Rambam could insist, although he doesn't spell this out explicitly, that he would have to daven one tefillah, at least to be yotzei the obligation, min HaTorah, of at least one tefillah a day. The Ramban finds that answer unsatisfying. He writes, you could answer that, but I don't think that that's correct. Because that would be giving an okimta to the Gemara. The Gemara said, without exception, that if you have a doubt whether or not you daven, you don't have to daven again. And the Gemara didn't distinguish whether we're talking about a case of, let's give a case without negligence, we'll say doctor's on call, and from Shkia the previous day till the afternoon. So I had no time to daven Ma'ariv, I had no time to daven Shachris. Now he has time to daven Mincha, and he's so exhausted from his work in the hospital that he doesn't know whether he davened or not. So the Gemara did not distinguish and say that in that case you do have to daven again. It didn't say that. So for the Rambam to give what we call an okimta, the Gemara is only talking about certain cases, so that would be difficult. The Mefarshim on the Sefer Mitzvot, the Leif Sameach and the Kirna Sofrim and the Megillas Esther, so they write, why is that so difficult? That's an abnormal case, the case where you forgot to daven, or you had an ones and you couldn't daven the first two tefillos. The regular case, where you daven Shachris, and you had a doubt about one tefillah. So the Rambam would say that that's the situation that the Gemara is talking about. But in a case where you didn't daven any of the tefillos, the Rambam would, according to his Shita, he would say you would have to daven again because Safik tefillah min HaTorah. The core of tefillah is min HaTorah, and therefore if you had a doubt whether you daven at all that day, you would have to daven again. In terms of the proof concerning the Valkyrie, so that's slightly more difficult. Because the simple reading of the Gemara concerning the Valkyrie is that he was a Valkyrie all day. So in that case, he's not davening Ma'ariv, and he's not davening Shachris, and he's not davening Mincha. The Gemara says you don't have to daven. They're the simpler cases, as the Ramban indicates. So that would be a stronger proof to the Ramban that Tefillah is purely Midrabbanan. So concerning that question, so the Mefarshim give two different approaches in terms of being Miyashev, of resolving the Rambam. The Ketzav Mishnah, and I believe the Megillas Esther says this as well, that the Gemara only exempted the Balkari from Shmona Esrei, from the formalistic tefillah that we daven every day. But from a basic tefillah, Shevach, Bakosha, Hodoya, so that even the Balkari would have to daven once a day. It's somewhat dochuk, because the Gemara didn't indicate that the Balkari has to daven such a tefillah, but this is the approach that they say the Rambam would be forced to say. An alternative approach, which is given by the Kinat Sofrim, is, this is actually given by the Leif Sameach, one of the other commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvos, in defending the Rambam, is that the Gemara never meant to exempt the Balkari from all tefillos. Gemara is talking about a case where, let's say, the person had already davened Ma'ariv, and then he became a Balkari, and now he's potter from the other tefillos. But if you have a case that a Balkari was tamei the whole day, including the night before, So he would have to daven at least one entire Shmona Esrei. It's the approach of the Leif Sameach. Again, the halacha, it's purely theoretical, because the halacha, the Rambam, is of those Rishonim who hold that a Baal Keri could daven anyway. So it's going to be hard to tell how the Rambam himself got out of that Gemara, because in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam describes that a Baal Keri can daven. But at least on a theoretical level, we'd have to assume that the Rambam either would hold that the Baal Keri would have to daven a Kor Tefillah, or he'd have to daven at least one Shmona Esrei. This dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban, especially since, in terms of the Baal Keri, it's not relevant anymore because the Baal Keri could daven, and concerning doubt, it's not relevant either because we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, that even if you assume that Tfilah is Midrabbanan, Ulevai Shispar Alam Kol Yom Kulo, you have a doubt whether you daven, you have to daven again. So is there any nafka mina, is there any practical difference between the Rambam and the Ramban, Halacha L'maisa, whether Tfilah is Midrabbanan, or the Tfilah Zoraisa? So interestingly, what emerges is that the Rambam, who starts out with a Chumrah, that Tfilah is Menatorah, and the Ramban, who starts out with a Kula, that Tfilah is the Rabbanan, it could turn out that La Halacha, the Nafkamina, the difference between the two, is exactly the opposite, that there's going to be a Chumrah for the Ramban and a Kula for the Rambam. And how so? This is a massive topic, La Halacha, that is debated on a Yom Hazeh, concerning the obligation of women in Tfilah. The Mishnah in Brachos, you have it on source 4, reads as follows: Noshim v'avadim uktanim turim mikriyashma u'mina tefillin. Women, which is our focus for now, so we'll gloss over the others for now, are exempt from kriyashma, because that's a time-bound commandment, and from tefillin. V'chayavim mitfilah of mezuzah v'birchas hamazon. They're obligated in tefillah. So the Gemara, and explaining why women are obligated in tefillah, has as follows. At least this is our version of the Gemara. V'chayavim b'tefillah. De'rachamininu. Because tefillah is a request for divine mercy. And therefore what? Women also need mercy. They're human beings just like their male counterparts are, and as such they also have to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be kind to them, and they should be able to continue to exist in the world and to provide for their needs. The Gemara continues. Mao de Temaho Luxiv Boer Vokivisorayim Kim Mitzvah Sasejas Mangramadami Kamash Malan. I might have thought that since concerning Tfilah, there are set times for Tfilah, so it should be considered a time bound commandment, and we know the famous rule that women are exempt from time bound commandments. Kamash Malan. So that's why the Mishnah has to tell us that since Tfilah is a request for divine mercy, it's an exception to the rule. And therefore women have to dive into it. The Gemara, the way it reads, as is not necessarily a proof either way to the Rambam's approach or to the Ramban's approach. However, there is a different gears of this Gemara. And that is mentioned, I believe, on the side of the Gemara, and it's mentioned by the Rif as well. The Rif, and later commentaries point out that must have been the Rambam's version of the Gemara too, reads the Gemara as follows. V'chayav mitzvila, pshita. It's obvious they're obligated in tefillah. Why? Mitzvah tasei shelo azman gramahu. It's not a time-bound commandment. Now that's a very curious line of the Gemara. What do you mean it's not a time-bound commandment? It certainly is a time-bound commandment. It's man shachar, it's man mincha, it's man ayrev. So, the way the Mefarshim explain is, especially starting from the ones that try to defend the Rambam from the attack of the Ramban, that on a Torah level, according to the way the Rambam formulated the mitzvah, it's not time-bound. It's once a day, every day. And even though it's once a day, every day, we don't consider that to be time-bound, even though you could have theoretically stated that a mitzvah that applies not just any time you want, but once a day, every day, is time-bound. But apparently the Rambam maintains that that's not called time-bound. If you have a mitzvah, also duchening is that way. A mitzvah for the Kohanim to bless the Jewish people, once a day, every day. So that's not called a mitzvah tasei she'azman grama. So that's what the Gemara asks. That it's obvious that women are obligated in tefillah. On a Torah level, it's not time-bound. And even though the Chachamim enhanced the mitzvah by A, creating a set text of the Shmona Esrei, and B, establishing certain times for it, that is not going to change the core mitzvah on a Torah level. We cannot say, well, on a Torah level, it's not time-bound. So women are obligated. On a rabbinic level, so there, it is time-bound, so women are exempt. The Chachamim can't be more lenient than the Torah core. So that's why, according to that version of the Gemara indicates that of course they're obligated in tefillah. it's time bound. It's non time bound on its Torah core. To which the Gemara proceeds to say, I might have thought that since rabbinically it is time bound, erev avokiv etzarayim, so I would have thought that pater kamashlan denas, because on a Torah level it's not time bound. So if we take a look at the Rambam again in source 2, Halacha Beis, he states this explicitly. After his introduction in Halacha Aleph, that tefillah on its basic level is a mitzvah in a Torah, so therefore, but the enhancements on either Rabbanan and Halacha Beis, he continues, Lefichach nashim v'avadim chayavim mitzvila. And therefore, women and avadim kananim, in terms of mitzvot, they have the same level of obligation of mitzvot as nashim, chayavim mitzvila. Why? Lefishi mitzvah say shalos magrama. So according to what we mentioned earlier, that probably was his girsa in the Gemara Chafachafam Beis. That's exactly why women are obligated in tefillah. So what the Tor and the Beis Yosef and the Mishnah Berurah point out, based on the analysis of the Mogen Avraham, is that, so let's just analyze this a little carefully here. For the Ramban, Nachmanides, on a Torah level, there's no obligation to daven any time during the day. On a rabbinic level, so then they went, so to speak, from 0 to 60, meaning they made it obligatory and was already time-bound. The original obligation in tefillah, according to the Ramban, is a mitzvah saseh shazman groma. Nonetheless, women are obligated in that. Why? According to our version of the Gemara, which the Ramban's girsa seems to match with, rachaminin. Because it's a request for mercy. So therefore women are obligated in that. What's that? The mitzvah derabbanan. Well, what is the mitzvah derabbanan? To daven shachris, shmona esrei. To daven mincha, shmona esrei. And perhaps even, although there's a discussion about this, so we'll leave that for now, and perhaps even ma'ariv, shmona esrei. Because that's what they're obligated in. That's what the Mishnah states, that women are obligated in tefillah. Whereas according to the Rambam, as we noted in the transition between Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis, on a core level, tefillah is min haTorah, which is not time bound. Therefore, women are obligated in that. What's the that? So perhaps one could suggest they're only obligated in that aspect of the mitzvah, which is not time bound. Namely, what? The Torah obligation. Once a day, every day. The rabbinic enhancement of the mitzvah, which is time bound. So that perhaps follows the regular rules. Any time-bound commandment, unless you have a reason to have an exception for it, women are exempt. And maybe tefillah is no different. On its core level, on a Torah level, they're obligated because it's not time-bound. The rabbinic enhancement, which is time-bound, so that's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So they should be exempt from it. And indeed, this is the way the Mogen Avraham, in a very famous Limud Chus, where he noted that for a large period of at least Ashkenazic history, probably Sephardic history too, which we'll see in a moment was also justified to some extent by Ravadi Yosef, that women just didn't daven. They didn't daven shachris, didn't daven mincha. They used to a lot of times say tehillim, they used to daven in Yiddish, the Yiddish tchinos, but they didn't daven shmona esrei. That's more recently when the Beit Yaakov movement started, so women started having formal education, so then they trained them to daven shachris mincha. So on a simple plane, the Chofetz Chaim, not in the Mishnah Berurah, but it's told in the biographies of the Chofetz Chaim, there's a straightforward reason to justify why typically women didn't daven. Because they were oseg b'mitzvah. They were oseg b'mitzvah, patan b'mitzvah. They were busy raising the children. And one could also compare it to like a doctor on call. They're taking care of people who need care, of the cholim. So they're busy with one mitzvah, they're exempt from the other mitzvah. That's the Chofetz Chaim told his wife, don't feel guilty, the fact that for the child-rearing years, you're probably not going to be able to daven shachris too often. He says, you're doing a different mitzvah. Also a mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. But the Mogen Avraham suggests a different yishuv for the common practice that women didn't daven. And he writes, based on this cheshbon, that according to the Rambam, that the core commandment of tefillah is min haTorah, and that's why women are obligated, so maybe that's all they're obligated in. They're obligated in the core commandment, min haTorah. And what is the core commandment, min haTorah? Shevach, bakasha, hodaya, once a day, not shmona esrei. So presumably, in the tchinos that the women recited, so probably you're going to have elements of shevach, bakasha, and hodaya. Not everyone liked this cheshbon of the Mogen Avraham, because let's say Modani only has Shevach, so all the women presumably said Modani, but it doesn't have Bakasha. And not necessarily all the Yiddish Tchinos necessarily had Shevach, Bakasha, and Hodoya. So, but nonetheless, that is a famous justification of the Magen Avraham, and some contemporary poskim also write that that's really the Ikar Adin, like that Magen Avraham. However, Rav Adi Yosef, in a modified way, he writes that for Noshim Svardios, that he accepts the basic logic with one difference. They should have in one Shmona Esrei. They're only obligated in the core level of Tefillah. But since Midrabanan, they enhanced it that it's supposed to be a set text, so they should have in once a day, every day, at least one Shmona Esrei. And that's where Rav Adi Paskins, both in his Tshuvas and also in his children quote in his name in the Yalkut Yosef series of Sforim, that the Sephardi women only have to feel obligated to daven once a day, every day. The reason why that's even more questionable when it comes to Ashkenazim is that the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham himself that most Rishonim don't passken like the Rambam. They passken like the Ramban. That tefillah is the Rabbanan at its core. So if you go with that Ramban, so now, as we mentioned before, what is the mitzvah that women are obligated in because it's rachamim? The same as men? So unless they have some kind of special exemption because taking care of children is some other mitzvah, so they have to daven shachris, mincha, and possibly ma'ariv as well. So that's a double chumrah. According to the Magen Avraham, according to the Rambam, women are only obligated in the court tefillah, a freestyle text of Shevach, Bakasha, Hodoya once a day. According to the Rambam, they have to daven Shmon Esrei. According to the Rambam, they only have to daven once a day. According to the Rambam, they daven at least twice a day, if not three times. Just very briefly, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from earlier poskim that the general practice is that women don't daven Ma'ariv, because the Gemara says that on its basic level, Ma'ariv is a reshus, it's an optional tefillah, and even though for men that's purely academic, because with a few nafkaminas, but it's mostly academic because the men accepted upon themselves to always daven Ma'ariv, so now it's considered a chova to daven Ma'ariv, but women never accepted that chova. As a chova. They never accepted that optional mitzvah as a chova. So that's where that idea comes from, that many women, even though they're amidak in davening, they only daven shachris and mincha. That seems to be the common message that's taught in most of the girls' schools as well. So, as we mentioned before, according to Rabban, it comes out l'chumrah, that women have to daven more than according to the Rambam. So l'halacha, as we mentioned before, Rav Adi Yosef writes that women always daven once a day, every day. The Magen Avraham justifies a similar kind of Ashkenazic practice, but the Mishnah Berurah recommends that most posts can follow the Ramban, so since tefillah is the Rabbanan, surprisingly, so therefore it's more chomer, and therefore women have to daven more. Getting back to the Ramban, we now, in the first leg of the Shir, we dealt with the Gemaros that the Ramban uses to try to prove his point, that tefillah is the Rabbanan, and we tried to resolve how the Rambam would explain those Gemaros. But what remains to be seen is how the Ramban resolves the sources that the Rambam himself produces that Tfilos Min HaTorah. He quotes the Gemara in Tainis Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and it's afraid. It states explicitly, "Lo'avda b'chol avavchem zo tfilah, savodah shebelev is tfilah." So how could the Ramban just dismiss those sources? Indeed, the Mefarshim on the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvot note that where did the Rambam come up with this two-tiered approach to tfilah? That tefillah is d'oraisa, but it's d'rabbanan. It's d'oraisa at its core, it's d'rabbanan based on its enhancements. So they explain, because they're contradictory sources. Some sources indicate tefillah is meritorah. The Gemara and Brachos indicate tefillah is d'rabbanan. So the Rambam resolved both sources by saying they're both true. At its core level, tefillah is meritorah. And on its enhanced level, in terms of the zmanim and the set text, tefillah is d'rabbanan. But according to the Ramban, that it's all d'rabbanan, so how does he resolve those sources that the Rambam quoted to indicate that it's Minotaur. So if we take a look again at the Ramban, and now we'll jump to the toward the end of the source 3. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up, the middle of the line. First one in the line is he. The middle of the line. Amasha darshu b'sifrei of those that are Talmud davaracher zot tefila asmachtahi. It's a rabbinic law that they plugged into a Torah concept, to a Torah pasuk, and asmachta. It's a rabbinic drasha. It's not a real drasha in a Torah. Olomar says the Ramban shemichlal avoda, that part of our service of Hashem is shenilmo Torah v'shenispalel elav be'eis hatzoros. that we should pray to Hashem in times of sorrow and times of tragedy. And our eyes and hearts should be longing toward God as the eyes of servants to their master. Pasuk in Balotcha, v'chisavo melchama ba'artzechem al atzar artzerer eschem v'ariotzem b'chatzotzros v'dinskartem l'fnei Hashem elokichem. That when a war or any other tragedy befalls you, one should blow the trumpets. And the Ramban elaborates on that mitzvah, v'hi mitzvah al kol tzora v'tzora shetavo al atzibor litzok l'fona v'tfilo v'tshrua. To cry out to Hashem both with tfilo of the word, of the lips, of regular tfilo, and trua by blowing the trumpets. Parenthetically, this fits very nicely with the theme that Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal elaborated on a lot in Yemei HaZikaron and his drashos for Rosh Hashanah, that blowing of the shofar, and in this case the blowing of the trumpets, is a form of tefillah. It's a tefillah without words. It's not a forum to elaborate on that now. But that's what you see from this Ramban, that the mitzvah, when a war comes, not just to blow the trumpets, to scare off the enemy. The mitzvah is to use the trumpets as a vehicle of calling out to Hashem, a tefillah without words in the language of our Soloveitchik, to be accompanied together with tefillah with words. As we see from the Ramban, litzok lefonav, bitfilah uvitrua. And then in summary, again there's an ellipsis just skipping part of the Ramban to the end, vim ula yiyah medrashan bitfilah ikar min haTorah. If this medrash of those tefillah is a biblical drasha, is a real drasha, nimna oso b'minyono shel harav, will count it as part of the count of the Rav, meaning of the Rambam. V'nomar she'i mitzvah la'eith atzoros, she'namin shu'yiz baruch v'yithal shemei tefillah. In a time of tragedy, we should believe that Hashem listens to tefillah, and we should pour out our heart to Him in that time period. So what the Ramban says is two different approaches. The Rambam quotes an explicit sifrei that tefillah is men haTorah. La'ovdo b'chalavavchem zo tefillah. So how does the Ramban deal with that? The first approach is an asmachta. It's a rabbinic drasha. The second approach is talking about tefillah be'eis tzara. That you don't have to daven every day if you don't have any specific need. But if you have a specific need, there's some kind of pressing need, then not only may you daven to God, but you must daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe that, the Ramban concludes, we should count it as a mitzvah, to daven be'eis tzara. Let's analyze each of these answers of the Ramban in turn. At first glance, this approach of the Ramban that tefillah is an asmachta, meaning that it's only rabbinic, is very difficult. Because all one has to do is open up a Tanakh, starting from Parashat Bereishis throughout, and see that there's communication with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not just as Rav Soloveitchik noted, b'nevuah, which is where Hashem communicates with man, but where man talks to Kodesh Baruch Hu, starting with Adam HaRishon and Cain. Gadol avonim in so, we please to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have to forgive my sin. And moving on to Noach and to the Avos and so on and so forth, there's always tefillah. So how could the Ramban say that tefillah is only a rabbinic concept, but it clearly exists in the Torah? So on a simple plane, one could say that the Ramban is saying, on a Torah level, it's not a commandment. It's something one may plug into. It's a power that Hashem gave us. It's in the language of the Sefer Chinuch, it's a chesed. Hashem allows us to daven to Him. If not for the fact that we have proof to that from the Psukim in the Chumash, Achutzbah, you're approaching the Melech Malchim Lachim all the time and knocking on his door and saying, give me, give me, give me. Who says you could do that? So that's Chesed Hashem, that we're allowed to do that. Who says it's a commandment? But it appears that it must be more than that. And Moshe Feinstein says, I'll just skip for a moment to number 10. Leaving aside the contest, which we'll focus on in the last subtopic of this year. Ramosha is actually dealing with a situation of whether non-Jews are obligated to pray. And he says they clearly are not, because it's not one of the seven Noahide commandments. So if you look in the third paragraph on the bottom of the page there, in number 10, Ula inyan in yeshlo mitzvah kishim spalah Hashem yizbarach. Does he get any kind of credit for davening, or is it just something like, as we said before, it's an option that he could partake of? It's an act of divine chesed that he'll listen to the non-Jew as well. So says Rav Moshe, Nira Sheyeshlo, of course he gets some kind of mitzvah for davening, kemaforish b'kro b'yishaya, ki veitzi veitz tvili yikarei l'chol amin, upirish rashi sham v'lo l'yisrael avadam. That the Beit HaMikdash is a house of prayer for all the nations, not just for Yisrael. So Rav Moshe then elaborates and says, oh, wait a second. It's a praise of the Beit HaMikdash that it's a place where the non-Jews could, if they want to, they could pray, but it's not a fulfillment of any kind of divine service. The Moshe finds it very hard to believe. He says, you have to say that if the fact that the Beit HaMikdash is praised in a way that it is based tefillah l'chol ha'amim, it must be that even though non-Jews don't have to daven, but if they do, not only are they partaking of a divine act of kindness that they can, but that when they do daven, they get a mitzvah. In the halachic jargon, we call that a mitzvah kiyumis, an optional mitzvah. The Gra, for example, indicates that when one eats matzah on the night of the Seder, that's a mitzvah chiyuvis. You have an obligatory mitzvah to eat matzah on the night of the Seder. But if you eat matzah the rest of the days of Pesach, so that's a mitzvah chiyumis. You don't eat matzah at all, you just want to eat fruit, also good. But you don't even have to have matzah meal. Nishke brooks, you just have potato starch the rest of Pesach. But according to the Gra, if you eat matzah the rest of Pesach, it's a mitzvah chiyumis, it's an optional mitzvah. So too, says Rav Moshe Feinstein itself, that for non-Jews, Tefillah would be an optional mitzvah. It's not just a reshus. It's not just totally neutral. So according to this approach, simply speaking, that's the way the Ramban viewed tefillah anytime one wants, even if you go with the first approach, that's an asmachta. If one davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one is in fulfillment of an act of divine service. One doesn't have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. There's no obligation to do so. But when one does so, one is engaging in an act of Avodas Hashem. A mitzvah kiyumis. That would explain on a deeper level that those episodes in Tanakh where we find all of the biblical figures davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it wasn't just they were partaking of divine chesed, but they were in fulfillment of an optional mitzvah. Moving on to the second answer of the Ramban, where he says that there's a mitzvah to daven be'es tzara, in a time of tragedy. So at first glance, it's very difficult. Because the Ramban himself notes that there's an explicit pasuk that tells us that there's a mitzvah to daven in time of tragedy. And what is that pasuk? That's the pasuk in Parashat Palotcha, turning back to source 3, we'll see it again, 4 lines from the bottom. Which the Ramban interprets to mean that it's not just the mitzvah to blow the trumpets, it's the mitzvah to scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with words of tefillah and also to blow the trumpets. So there's already a pasuk that tells us you have to daven be'eis tzara. Why do you need another pasuk of the B'chalavavchem to tell us again that you have to daven be'eis tzara? This is a question that the Megillas Esther, in trying to defend the Ramban, raises against the Ramban. So on a simple plane, the Ramban is stating, as the Ramban himself notes, that sometimes the Torah repeats itself. It repeats the same mitzvah more than once. The Ramban agrees that the idea of Avodat Hashem is repeated again and again and again. So for the Ramban, the mitzvah of davening be'eis tzara is repeated twice. One is the idea of Avodah B'chol Levavchem, and all the time it says Vavaretem, Vavaretem. And the other time concerning V'chitzavo Melchama V'artzichem. However, I believe if we read the Ramban very carefully, that is not the intent of the Ramban at all. And just to prove it a little more, that it has to be that way. Because the Ramban at the end of his analysis writes that if it is a mitzvah, we'll count it as a mitzvah to daven be'eis tzara. But then he continues and says, Nimne oso b'minyono shel harav. We'll agree to the count of the Ramban. In other words, we'll agree that the fifth mitzvah is the mitzvah of tefillah, but specific tefillah, not tefillah once a day, every day, with no specific need, but tefillah be'eis tzara. The problem is, though, that the Ramban counts tefillah as two separate mitzvahs. And that's something we haven't seen so far. If you look in Source 5, the Rambam introduces not an Hilchos Tefillah, but an Hilchos Tainios. Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Tasei Min HaTorah Lizok Ulahariya B'chatzotros Al Kol Tzorah Shetov Al HaTzibur. It's almost the Ramban, who's just quoting the Rambam here. It's a separate mitzvah to scream out to Hashem and to blow the trumpets in the time of Tzorah. Shenemar, same Pasuk, Al HaTzara Tzorer Eschem, Barayotem bachatzotros, kolomar kol dover sheyitzalachem kigon batzores v'dever v'arbe v'chayotze b'hen za'aku aleihen v'ariu. So according to the Rambam, there are two separate mitzvahs of tefillah: the daily mitzvah, once a day, every day, which is learned from the pasuk of Avodas Hashem, la'av de b'chol avachem, and then the mitzvah, the way some summarize it as ze'oka, screaming out to Hashem in a time of sorrow. Two separate mitzvahs. So if we just follow the logic of the Ramban then. So at the end he says, well, let's cave into the Rambam partially. will agree to his count. Meaning what? That mitzvah hey is a mitzvah daven be'etz tzara. And then the mitzvah later, which the Rambam quotes, I don't remember what number he counted in the Sefer Mitzvos, is to daven be'etz tzara. So then it's counted twice in the 613? That can't be. So I believe the intent of the Ramban is the one crucial word that we glossed over before. When the Ramban writes, Masha Zoshu B'Tzifrei, L'Ovdo, Zeh Talmud, Zot Tzvila, etc., Asmachti, O Lomar, Shemichlal Avoda, Shenil Motor, Shemispalo, Veit Tzoros, that line is going on the Yochid. Perhaps, says the Ramban, there's an obligation for the individual to daven for his Tzoros. Then he continues, V'zeh Ki'inyon Shekosuv, V'chisvo, Melchamo, etc., Variosim Bechatzotzos, V'imitzvah Kol Tzor, V'Tzor, Shetzavo, Al-Hatzibur. It's like the other mitzvah that applies to the tzibur. And the Ramban here then suggests that we should extend it to the yochid from a different pasuk. The pasuk of Arayotim Bachatzot is talking about something like a war, something before Klal Yisrael, an entire congregation. But on the level of the individual, so there the Torah says, V'avaratem et Hashem Elokechem, that when you specifically have a tzara, then you have a mitzvah to daven. So it's two separate mitzvahs. One is on the tzibur, one is on the yochid. On the level of the yochid, the Ramban is not so convinced that there is such a mitzvah. It's perhaps only on the tzibur level. Based on that duality, that even the Ramban agrees that there are two separate mitzvahs here. There's a mitzvah on the yochid and a mitzvah on the tzibur, both dealing with Torah. So I think we could explain a little better that which Moshe Feinstein said, Sal. And again, this we don't have time to see inside, but those who would like to, please take a look. It's on the back page, the end of that, the tshuva. He deals with the issue of non-Jews praying. And if you look from the context of the tshuva, many have noted that Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal followed the approach that most tshuva svarim have, is they don't record the question. They just write the answer. Sometimes the question could be longer than the tshuva, but they didn't record the question. But it's clear from the context, even though he starts out by stating, Be'inyan Tfil Leven Noach, doesn't really tell you what it's about, but if you look at the end, it's clear Rav Moshe is addressing the issue of prayer in schools. The very controversial topic, which many in Jewish circles as well have taken sides on both sides of the debate, whether we should encourage it, because after all, we'll encourage even our not as of yet religious brethren to somehow connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, it might lead to Christianization of the public schools, church and state issues, so on and so forth. So concerning that issue, Rav Moshe at the end says, I see both svaras, but I think you shouldn't get involved. Okay, so that's what he writes at the end. That's only one line. But the rest of the tshuva, which is more relevant in terms of the themes of tefillah, and Baruch Hashem for this that question, although he wouldn't have had it through the view of Ramosha. He writes that it appears to me that no one could dispute that there's a mitzvah, even for the individual, to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a time of sorrow. Everyone has to agree to that. But wait a second, says Ramosha. But the Ramban left it as a doubt. He said, maybe La'ovdo B'chol Avachim is an asmachta, meaning it's totally rabbinic, that tefillah, at least for the Yachid, for the Tzibur, it's Min HaTorah Ve'eis Torah, but at least for the Yachid, it's totally rabbinic. And maybe the Yachid has an obligation to daven Ve'eis Torah. Sounds like that according to one possibility, the Yachid doesn't have to daven Ve'eis Torah. So Rav Moshe says that cannot be. Because there certainly is a mitzvah of Emuna. And he writes that concerning Jews, so the Rambam and many other Rishonim count the mitzvah of Emuna as a mitzvah. But even for, let's say, the Noahites, the Bnei Noach, the non-Jews, so one of the seven mitzvot is not Amuna. But he says, but Amuna for Bnei Noach is what sometimes I refer to as mitzvah zero. It's the prerequisite. The whole concept of a mitzvah means it's a commandment because there's a commander. And as the Rambam writes, let's say a non-Jew keeps all of the seven Noahide laws because he's a secular moralist. He's a Scientologist. So he believes it's immoral to eat limbs from a live animal. It's immoral to steal. It's immoral to kill. But nothing to do with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Says the Rambam, then that's not a mitzvah, and therefore such a non-Jew doesn't get Olam Haba, because he hasn't served the Kodesh Baruch Hu through his mitzvahs. He's serving himself. So you have to have emuna in order for mitzvahs to make sense. So if a non-Jew is obligated in emuna, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, and certainly Jews are as well, how could a mamin not dive into a Kodesh Baruch Hu when there's a time of sorrow? As the expression goes, Rav Moshe doesn't use this analogy, there's no atheist in a foxhole. And what if there is an atheist in a foxhole? Then he's a real atheist. He's not just a closet atheist. Right? He's a real atheist because here at the Torah, he's going to seek out medical help if you're sick, right? You go to a doctor. So if someone's going to help you, you're going to seek out help. Why aren't you asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help? Must be you don't believe in him. So Rav Moshe writes that Tefillah Be'etzer on the level of the Yochid is included in Emunah. So based on our analysis he said before, wait a second. Tefillah Be'etzer, that's a mitzvah of Hariyotim B'chatzotzros. So he said, yes, that's on a Tzibah level. But what about on a Yochid level? The Ramban wasn't sure whether it's a mitzvah. Says Rav Moshe, it certainly is, based on the fact that it's included in Emunah. Let me just conclude with the following idea that Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal developed. How do these two ideas interrelate? As we saw, based on what we saw from the Rambam also, that everyone agrees that there's a concept of tefillah as avoda every day. The Rambam holds it's obligatory, and the Ramban holds that it's not obligatory. It's at least on a Torah level. It's only obligatory on a rabbinic level. It exists. The concept exists on a rabbinic level, on a Torah level, mitzvah kiyumis, but it's not obligatory. And there's also a concept of tefillah be'eis tzara. There's a mitzvah to daven as a tzibur be'eis tzara. And perhaps there's also a specific mitzvah, according to the Ramban, to daven on the level of a yachid be'eis tzara. How do these two mitzvahs interrelate? So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal suggested that at the core of the dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether or not tefillah is obligatory every single day on a Torah level, or it's only obligatory in a time of tzara, is how do we define tzara? How do we define what we mean by tzara? For the Ramban, it's actual tzara. Someone has someone sick at home. Someone is having trouble getting parnasa. Someone is having trouble either in any other way, physically or spiritually. One is concerned about terrorist attacks, lo aleinu, or any other tragedy in the world. So that's one type of tzara. Then there's another type of tzara, and that's what Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, in his philosophical terms, called the existential tzara. The fact that we exist is not something we can take for granted. It's something, it appears that we can take for granted. When one contemplates it, one realizes that every single second of life and every single second of health and every single second of happiness is a continued divine gift. As the davening indicates, Mechadesh b'tuvo b'chol yom tam in masid reshis. If Hashem would take his mind off the world for 1 second, we'd all cease to exist. We are constantly in existential despair because we cannot exist without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rav Soloveitchik, the Rambam holds that every day is a tzara. And that's why you have to daven every single day. Based on this approach, I think perhaps we can suggest that that is why, you don't really see anybody speak about this, but it seems that there has to be something spoken about. The Rambam writes, how do you daven Shmona Esrei? How do you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shevach Bakosha Odoya. So I have a kasha. It's called Sefer Tehillim. Shir HaMalos Imam HaKim Kiratzich HaShem. Where is Shevach? Where is, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the great one who always gives us everything. Mima makim kiratzich Hashem. Shira malos. Mima makim kiratzich Hashem. Tfilo la'oni kiyato. Lefnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. Calling out to Hashem Yisborach. Help! Hashem shima v'koili. Where's hakeil agodol agimir anora? So presumably the answer to that is because it's only concerning the formal tfilo every day that there's a need for shevach bakasha odoya. But tefillah be'eis tzara, then you just scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help. Mashal ma'adav adoma, when you're drowning in the sea, so you tell the lifeguard, help. You don't say, oh, great lifeguard, I know you're working so hard for us, can you please help me? Just say help. So I thought that based on Rav Soloveitchik's idea, we could suggest the following. What's the purpose of introducing the Shmona Esrei with Shevach? Because by realizing that Hashem is the Keil HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora and He's the Kone HaKol, we create the sense of tzara. Because if we don't realize who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and who we are with respect to Him, that we are just continued recipients of His chesed, gomel chasadim tovim, then we're not going to feel the tzara. So then we can't move on to the atachonim and to the rifeinu and to berechaleinu and to kavashofa gadol. We don't fully recognize that Hashem is the kone hakol and He is the gomel chasadim tovim. So we have to give shevach in order to feel the tzara. But in a time of actual tzara, where it's right before us, so we don't need the shevach in order to generate that. And therefore we could just call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May we all be zocher both to the act of Avodas Hashem every day, the Avodas Shevelev of Tefillah, and the Avodas Hashem through specific Eis Tzara, to constantly connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the language of the Ramban to reaffirm our emunah, both in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability and his willingness to help us and to intervene in the world constantly, both on the level of the individual, of the Yochid, and also Klal Yisrael.